We'll continue today with where we left off, the middle of chapter 15, Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So we're in the middle of discussing the battle between Asa and Baasha. Asa is the king of Yehuda. Baasha is the king of Yisrael. Okay, and we're, if you look on your timeline that I supposedly kept from you and didn't get back. Oh, look, Miriam has hers. Okay, you guys try to see if you can share it, because I have the book. Mm-hmm. Asa and Baasha. You'll notice that Baasha dies in the middle of Asa's reign. So we're just, so you can follow along. You don't have it?
I do.
Your timeline? Somewhere you have it.
I know.
Okay. Vayal Baasha Melech Yisrael al Yehuda. So as the ongoing part of the battle, Baasha, the king of Israel, he rose up against Yehuda. Vayiven et haramah. They built up the Ramah, the ramparts, right, to prevent Asa Melech Yehuda from coming or going. Okay, he built up this place called Ramah, meaning the one of the big drawbacks about being the king of Yehuda is one of the big benefits is that you have the base of Mikdash. The big drawback is, even though you have a defensible position, it's very easy to what's the word I'm looking for? Barricade, blockade you, right?
Siege.
Yeah, Yerushalayim is a classic siege city. You know, that's one thing that the Israelis were always subject to. You know, if you cut off one way, one entrance, it's not very hard. It used to be the only way to get from Yerushalayim, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, was on that main road. Now, if you remember, that was one of the big things in 1948, trying to find a way to get around that main road, because the Arabs controlled the highland. Right, they controlled the Trun, they controlled all the highland along that main road, and if you couldn't get past that road, you couldn't get to Jerusalem, and you couldn't sort of relieve the residents of the city. That was their big hope. When they finally captured the Trun in 48, right, that's when anybody ever read that book, O Jerusalem? Oh, very important, but never read that, very surprised. Very important book to read, O Jerusalem, written by, I don't know, somebody else. Very, very well-known book. Highly recommend it. Okay. O Jerusalem, with an O, not an O-H. O Jerusalem. Vayikach Asa et kol ha-kesef ha-zahav ha-no-tarim ba-o-tarot beit Hashem ve-o-tarot beit ha-melech v'ayidim b'yad avadav. Now, remember, what happened to all the money in Asa's treasure that he got from Shlomo? What happened to all the money from Shlomo? King of Egypt took it. So whatever's left, is what does he do? Takes all the money left. I mean, something had to be left. And he gave it to his servants. He sent it to Ben-Hadad in Damascus. Where's Damascus?
Damascus.
Damascus, right. Damascus is Damascus.
Damascus.
Right. Okay, saying, remember, do you remember, by the way, we learned that in reality, because of Shlomo's sins, the Jewish people were only supposed to be divided for 36 years. Remember? It was Bishnat Sheikhisre, and it wasn't Bishnat Sheikhisre. Is this ringing? It should ring a bell. That we said that this is an opportunity to unite. But what did the Jewish king do? He goes and hires a non-Jew to go fight against the Jew. And so they really hated each other. It's almost like, L'Avdil, the Civil War. Imagine if the South had engaged the French. And just so you know, it almost came to that. Because the French, everybody liked the cotton. They needed the cheap goods that came from the South. So one of the big missions of the North was they sent diplomatic missions to basically tell Europe to stay out of it. Right, because if they had gotten into it, that would have been the end of the Union. Okay, brit beini uveinecha, bein avi ubein avicha, we should have a covenant between you and me, your father and my father, we're all good friends. It's like Haman and Ahasuerus. You ever notice how good friends they are in the Megillah? You notice how good of a friends they are? What makes them such good friends? The 10,000 silver coins that I pay from my vault to your vault, so as much as things have changed, right? I love that, by the way. What you like about what he's saying is, shalachti lecha shochad. What's a shochad?
Bribe.
Bribe. I mean, he doesn't really hide it. There's no attempt at pleasantries. Right? Behold, would you accept a bribe? What is shochad? Right. Hinei shalachti lecha shochad. I'm sending you a bribe. And Ben-Hadad is also happy to say,
sure,
as long as your money is green, I accept it here. Oh, you know, accept it. Because of it. Right. Lecha feiraz b'itcha et Basha melech Yisrael v'ya'alem alai. Do me a favor. I know you have a treaty with Basha, but what are the odds that I'm sending you more money than he pays you? Right. Fine. Vayishva ben-Hadad al melech asa. So Ben-Hadad obviously is available to the highest bidder. Vayishlach atzarei ha'chayelim ashalo al arei Yisrael. Except minimize this. I mean, this is, you know, you have one Jewish king inciting a non-Jewish king to kill Jews. What it means when it says Vayach, he hit, he smote Iyun and Dan, Avel and Beit Macha. Right, what do you think, Ben Hadad just, you know, shot a few cannons across the bow? You know? Yeah, it's serious stuff.
It's a bloody book.
It's unbelievably bloody. The Kol Kinrot al Kol Eretz Naphtali. How they translate that? And the Kol Kinrot area, I'm not sure if that's a Kinneret or not, the whole land of Naphtali. So Basha heard that his cities are getting smoked, right? Because he thought that his north flank was secure. Why? Why do you think his north flank was secure? Because he paid off the king of Damascus. Little do you realize that there's the danger of fair weather friends. Mm-hmm. Right? If they go to the highest bidder, yep, you better make sure you're always the highest bidder. Although you would think that if the king of Damascus were shrewd, he would have sent a message to the first guy.
Taking money from both sides, not a
second. Right.
Yeah, you can play that game. That game only goes so far, though. You better be able to back it up. You know what I'm saying? Okay. The Yeter, v'hamelech Asa, hishmiya et kol Yehuda, ein naki. Right? So, King Asa, Asa is the king of Yehuda, right? He says, ein naki. What does ein naki mean? Means no one is exempt. Okay? No one is exempt from conscription. V'yisu et avnei ha-ramah v'et etzeh asher v'anabasha, right? They took this Ramah, this rampart, this fort or what have you, right? That Basha had to now abandon in order to go protect the north. So they took all the stones and all the wood and all that. So they built up their own cities, you know. So they had not only got these guys off his back, they took some precious resources from them. And the rest of the word, the ideals of Asa, the activities and the cities that he built, in the time of his old age, he was very vital and virile, except when he got old, his feet were no good.
His legs.
Right.
It's very strange.
What?
Why not?
It's so genuine.
It's like a
mountain. It is very
strange. I couldn't find anything. I mean, if you look at the Mitzvah, the Mitzvah says, Mitzvah David, he says, Mitzvah David on Chaf Gimel. See the bottom of Chalav Raglav. Rak, let's tell him, what it means to tell you is Bechol Davar Hayam Mitzlach. He was very successful in everything, except about this idea, about this one thing, that when he got old, his legs hurt. Now, by the way, I just thought of something I'm not going to say because I made it up. I don't know if it's true or not. Remember, Asa was a bad king or a good king? It's hard to keep track, right?
Yeah,
it was okay. Asa was a good king, right? The only thing he did not, he got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. Was the only thing he did not do? He did not destroy the Bamot. Okay, he did not destroy what's that?
The altars,
the altars? Yeah, right, he did not destroy the foreign altars. Okay. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. The rabbis have different midrashim. What's that?
There's raglaim both for feet and legs.
Yes, in Hebrew, raglaim.
There's no difference.
No. Right. Right, even yad, right? We call it the tefillin shel yad.
And so it's an arm.
You don't put it on your hand. It's the hand and the arm.
So you're tying my hands and arm.
Yeah, we call this a zroa, though. The forearm is also called the zroa.
So the scroll says...
Yeah, go for it. Scroll me.
The Talmud describes the symptoms of his ailment as similar to needles penetrating flesh. This was his punishment.
People have that, right? It's, a, yeah.
It's called...
what's it called?
Neuropathy.
Neuropathy, right. Very painful,
this
isn't
it? Punishment for unnecessary private altars.
Where did it say? Where
was his punishment for unnecessarily... Oh, I'm
what page are you on?
Unnecessarily...
Oh, I was all excited.
No. You know, here, look.
I saw. I was all excited because what I was going to say is that, remember, he didn't remove the private altar. So the idea of an altar is that you don't want to go from one place to the next.
Yeah.
And that he wasn't willing to force people to come to the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for that reason, his legs became ill. But I was going to say it, and I was excited that Arsbel said it, but apparently they didn't. It's a misread, but maybe that's true. You could suggest that that's true, but I couldn't find
it.
It said that he used scholars to take apart those cities.
Yeah.
So
instead of letting them learn Torah,
he disrupted their Torah study. So for that, he was punished. God weakened us as
so what is the Rabbah? Wait a minute, second.
But why is
it crippling? As if, as it were,
because
by foundation.
That was
his
foundation.
According to Rabbi, this is measure punishment for his lack of faith in seeking and paying for Ben-Hadad's cooperation in the war against Vasa. His legs had not carried him into battle. Now they were immobilized by him. That was a similar idea, something that I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Right. What?
Nowadays he's a word. Wasn't diagnosed.
Right. Right. He'd go to a pain management specialist, they'd give him physical therapy and send him on his way. They give him 5 visits and then tell him, sorry, insurance doesn't cover anymore.
Couple.
You got good insurance then. Okay. Asa dies. He was the king for 41 years. Okay? Asa dies for 41 years. That was where Asa was the king. This is what he says. Yehoshaphat b'no tachtav. Yehoshaphat is his son. It's off your chart?
Yes, off the chart.
Okay, fine. But we skip. Now, the Navi leapfrogs. So now we have the king of Judah. So remember, Asa took over during Yerobam's reign, when Yerobam was still the king. Yerobam was the first king of Israel. Now, let's go back. The Nadav ben Yerobam. So now go back on your chart to Nadav.
Right.
Because this is the only way to do it chronologically. I would recommend, Shiva, do you have a chart there?
No.
Share with Miriam, because you can't really follow unless you see the chart.
I'll make a copy.
Make 3 or 4. Okay, do me a favor. Make
Why
3 or 4.
Why does it say, by the way, Vayishkav instead of Vayamal?
Vayishkav and Vayamal. It says that a lot. Yeah, that's the way you say he lay with his fathers. Right, because remember that back then, traditionally, when a person died, where would they place him?
Family.
In the family tomb. Right? It wasn't always a given. The burial was very different than the way we bury. You know, don't think for a minute that the way we bury has like been done for thousands and thousands of years. Of course, we return somebody to the earth. But sometimes our returning to the earth, if you've ever seen in the times of the Mishnah already, they were utilizing catacombs, caves for burial. And they would just leave the body. They would not place the body in the earth. And then when the body would, I guess if you leave a body, how long will it take for the body to disintegrate? If you just leave it.
Yeah,
actually,
damp, dark environment.
Less time than in the ground because you don't have the worms and the beetles. But you still have the bacteria.
Less time.
Working from the inside, so it's still there.
Less than a year?
Well, probably more than a year.
Really? Because they say that a year would go by, and then after a year they would do what's called liquid atzamos. They would collect the bones and then rebury them. Because they didn't have their space or whatever.
Would never be done, right?
Well, not in a year. A year's not enough.
Animals or furs or something.
It was a closed cave, I guess.
Inside the cave?
I guess so. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay. So let's go on. And I'll show you the chart when Miriam returns from our photocopier excavating. The Nadav ben Yerobam malach al Yisrael b'shnat shtayim la'asa melech Yehuda. So if you look at your chart, right, we have Rechavam. See Rechavam on the right hand side, then Aviyah. He lasted for 3 years. What happened to Aviyah? No, Aviyah, we found out what happened. Because remember, what did Rechavam do wrong?
He's the one who set up the two.
No, that was Yerobam. Yerobam. See how easy it is to confuse them?
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Rechavam, remember, did not get rid of the altars, and he allowed there was an Asherah under every tree, and then the Navi came and said to him, you're in big trouble. Well, Mami came and said, both of them, you're in big trouble. So what happened to Aviyah? Do you remember what happened to Aviyah? Why he died so fast? He just died. Remember, we didn't know. It didn't say why he died.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you asked me why. Did it say why Aviyah died? I'm confused, too.
I don't think so.
Okay. No, 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 no. He sinned, he sinned, he sinned. No, he just died. We don't know why he died. Okay. So now we're back to Yeravam, and now we're to the son of Yeravam. Remember, what did God say to Yeravam? Because Yeravam built the golden calf. So what did the Navi come and say to Yeravam? What's going to happen to you for building the golden calf? Remember, his wife went when the son got sick, just to recall.
Yeah.
Right, he said to her, what's going to happen to your son? As soon as you come back, he's going to die. And, right, none of your children, none of your male descendants are going to be buried. And that was the only thing that God did not say to the house of Yehuda. Why? Because remember, the house of Yehuda was a continuation and continuity of David HaMelech. So there was never a threat to wipe them out entirely. We don't see that threat. Okay. So in the second year of Asa, the king of Yehuda, and you see Asa was right after Aviah died. Okay, so count 1, 2, and you see Nadav, right after 22 years of Rechavam, Nadav died. Nadav takes over. Okay, by Yimoch Al Yisrael Shnatayim, he got 2 years. By Yas Ara Beinei Hashem, Ayerech Mederech Aviv, Uvchatato Asher Hichti Et Yisrael. And he followed in his father's footsteps. So now remember, it's very interesting. Remember, if you recall, in the Yod Gimel Midos, we say, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun, God is compassionate. Erech Arpayim Rav Chesed V'Yemes No Tzechesed V'Alafim V'Yem V'Petra V'Chatzah V'Nakei. So we trick you. V'Nakei Lo Yinakeh Pokeid Avon Avot Arbanim V'Abanim V'Asidashim V'Arubayim. That God is Pokeid Avon Avot. He redeems, he remembers the sins of the fathers on children. So the very famous of Gemara. Gemara says the following. Hey, what the heck? How can you punish the parents, the children, for the sins of the fathers? So the Gemara says very simply, the simple answer to the Gemara is that when that pasuk is talking about where the children continue in the ways of the fathers. Right? So it's a good idea that if you're going to sin, you take something your parents didn't do. Why? Because if you continue in the sinful ways of your parents, God will incur his wrath not just on your piddling sinfulness that you did, but he's been waiting to see if that sinfulness will continue, will be passed on to you from generation to generation. So it could come all crashing down on you.
So you should sin in a different way.
Well, I'm not suggesting that.
If you continue to sin, even if you...
I'm just pointing out that it says, Vayelech
b'derech avi. You can't help yourself sin in a different way.
Right. Pick something new. My father did
Shina,
this.
Yeah.
With a shinoi, yeah. That'll go far. Yeah. My father did X. Do something else. And by the way, if you went through already on that Madrega, maybe you won't sin at all. Right. So we see. I think that's exactly the point. That God is now angry. The punishment was threatened at Yeravam. But Nadam, we see, doesn't get punished right away. How long does he get?
2 years.
2 years. And he followed in his father's. That's not enough.
Well, if you've been indoctrinated in a certain path, it takes a while to find another way of doing things. I mean, 2 years is not very long. You know what I mean?
Did you get a sense that he made an effort to change his father's sinful
that's
way?
No.
It's a little bit unfair in a way because he's raised suit in this sort of behavior. You know, one gets a sense almost that the one who returns, the Baal Tshuva, as it were, is sort of heroic in a sense, you know, for him to shift.
Against?
Yeah, you're fighting against the tide, you're fighting against what you were raised, you're fighting against the values that you have. And so, in a way, I wouldn't say unfair, but it's unrealistic, in a sense, to expect Nadav not to do what his father did. His father did it, everything seemed good. Nobody educated him otherwise.
We only have 2 years.
No, just start. Did he start? Did he try?
The implication is not.
Yeah, not at all. One wonders also to what level was Nadav educated to the fact that he was supposed to. You know, how old was Nadav when he took over? I don't know the answer to these questions. One assumes he's older than 22, right?
Why?
Would you assume that? Yeah, his father became king when he was an adult already. Right, so did he remember? Did he remember what it was like before the splitting of the kingdom?
No.
How'd you know? We don't know. Anyway. Chavzayin. Vayikshu alav Basha ben Achia lebeit Yisachar. Uh-oh. So Basha, the son of Achia from the house of Yisachar, vayikshu alav, rose up against him. And what did he do? Vayakehu Basha begivton asher lepsishtim. And Basha smote him. V'nadav v'chol Yisrael tsarim al givton. And Nadav and all of Israel, where are we? Were besieging Givton. Right? So they're like attacking another city. In the middle of their attack, some guy comes and kills him. Okay? Vayimiteu Basha v'shnat shalosh asa melech Yehuda vayimloch tachtav. So Basha kills the king. What happens if you kill the king?
You
get the king. So Basha becomes the king. Okay, by Yehike Malko, when he becomes king. Now, by the way, if you're going to kill the king, it's a good idea to
kill everybody else.
Right, it's a very good idea, because if you don't kill everyone, sooner or later, someone in the family is going to come back and kill you.
Right.
So, lo and behold, it just so happens that Basha decided to rise up and fulfill inadvertently, maybe probably not intentionally, the prophecy that was brought to Yerobam's wife. Vayikim Malko, he became king. Hika et kol beit Yeravam. Lo hishir kol neshama liyeravam ad hishmido. No one survived. Kidvar Hashem adiribir biyad avdo achia shilani. Just like God had promised him. Right? He said, change your ways or you will be destroyed. And he did not change his ways. And his entire descendants, his entire family was destroyed. Al chatat Yeravam asher chata v'asher ichti et Yisrael. Why was he punished in such a severely harsh manner? For the sins that he sinned and that he caused the Jewish people to sin. V'kaso asher hichis et Hashem elokei Yisrael. In his angering, then he angered God, the God of Israel. V'yetet divrei Nadav v'chol asher asar. And all the other stuff that Nadav did, all in his
2 years.
Right? You know, grand 2 years. Alohem k'tuvim al sefer divrei yamim l'malchei Yisrael. U'milchama haita bein Asa u'bein Basha melech Yisrael kol yimehem. Now, who's left? If you look at Basha in your little clay calendar, it's Basha and Asa. Right? So Basha and Asa are fighting with each other. I remember vividly in eighth grade when we learned a lot of things, we also had no idea who was whom. It's, you know, to keep track of all these kings. Okay? Bishnat shalosh la'asa melech Yehuda malach Basha ben Achia akol Yisrael betirza esrim ve'arba shana. So Basha ruled, if you look in your chart, for how many years?
24
years. Vayas harav enei Hashem. Gee, what do you know? He followed in the evil in the eyes of God. Vayeh v'derech Yerobam u'b'chatata asher echtiyat Yisrael. And now it's already an established fact. You know, the what was once considered unusual or deviant is now the accepted norm. Right? So, and nobody even remembers anymore that there used to be a unified kingdom. And nobody remembers anymore, you know, that everybody worshipped God and that there wasn't idolatry. It's become so deeply entrenched. And what's interesting is, remember now, Asa, he ruled for 41 years. Asa, the king of Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
What did Asa do? He got rid of all of the idolatry in the country, which is a huge deal. So now what you're dealing with is two opposing kings. But not only do the kings oppose each other, right now there's a steep cultural divide between the two kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Right, Yehuda is Beis HaMikdash, God, and Yisrael is golden calf idolatry. You know, it's almost like, you could imagine it would be like a secular religious split in a sense, where the religious all come to one area and they're fighting, and the secular come to another area and they're fighting. You know, it's not so hard to imagine, God forbid. But it's not just that they're fighting over territory, they're fighting over culture, they're fighting over the nature of the Jewish people. And one could easily sense, you know, the Yehudians, the Yehudim, ever heard of that term?
Mm.
Right? The Yehudim, saying, we are the authentic representatives, we have the Beis HaMikdash. And the Yisraelim, the Israelites, is saying, fine, you religious Jews, hold up in your Jerusalem. What kind of kingdom are you going to build? What kind of, you know, what kind of country can you have over 5 square miles? Go back to your little kolels and you know, let us build a serious country. Right. Sound familiar?
Look like over Tel Aviv, you can have your
Rishon. Right. Tesh Zayin.
History
always repeats itself. That's the thing about history. Right? The fights never change, just the people.
The people change.
Yeah, it's always the same argument. Vayehi dvar Hashem al Yehu ben Chanani al Basha leimor. Okay, there's enough. Yehu is a prophet. Yan asher hu'moticha min ha'afar. So now remember, what is God always message to the Yisrael kings? What's the message going to be?
Repent,
get rid of the idolatry, or?
You'll all be killed.
Right? You can already tell me what it's going to be. This is the pattern. And of course, is he going to learn a lesson?
No.
Look at your chart, what's going to happen? Right, you see a trend there? You see any kind of trend over there? Anyway. Okay.
The next people don't even last
for you. Yanashe min ha'afar, because I have risen you up from the dust, the enecha nagid al ami Yisrael, and I made you a ruler over my nation, O Israel, v'atelech v'derech Yeravam, and you have followed in the path of Yeravam, v'atachati et ami Yisrael l'hachisheni v'chatotam, and you have sinned, caused to sin the Israelites to make me angry in their sins. Hineni ma'vir achorei Basha v'achorei Beito. Right, I'm going to go away, move away from Basha and from his household. Okay, and v'natati et Beitcha k'veit Yeravam ben Nevat. Remember what happened to Yeravam? His children, whatever, his grandchildren? It's going to happen to you. Hamet labasha ba'ir yochlu haklavim. Right? The dead in the city will be eaten by the dogs. Hamet labasha de yochlu of hashamayim. And by the way, why didn't, who is it, Basha bury the family of Nadav? Basha did this to Nadav's family, right?
Right.
So he says, remember what you did to that, their family? What's going to happen to you? Why didn't he bury him? Meaning, remember, God's promise was they're going to die in the fields and be left there. Why? Why not? I mean, you killed him already. Why not bury him?
That's added insult to injury?
More. Wasn't looking for insult anymore.
It's disgrace to the
why are they desecrating the bodies of the family?
To prove that they're no longer the whole
thing. I would say it's a warning. It's a warning to enemies. Mm-hmm. You know? Right? Don't mess with us. Right? That desecration, that degradation, when you wipe out somebody's whole family and you let them run in the streets, and you make a rule, by the way. If that's going to happen, then you proclaim a law. Don't nobody bury those bodies.
Let them be. Mighty have fallen from all the way being from the king.
I'm king now.
And,
but you have
25
years.
Who?
Basha. You make it sound like a prison sentence. I mean, he had 25 years to repent.
Yeah, and he didn't.
Well, whatever. But, I mean, he had 25 years to do whatever he did until...
So no, wait, that he's a murderer. Was Nadav a murderer?
What do you mean? What does that mean, a murderer?
He killed Nadav, no?
He killed the king.
Right. So it wasn't just the idolatry, he's also murder.
Define murder.
Killing him for no reason?
Did the king didn't deserve to die?
I don't know.
I do. You know how I know the king deserved to die?
Because God says.
Right. So you're saying, did he do it to follow the word of God? Did he kill out the king to follow the word of God?
No.
No, why did he kill the king?
For his own.
He wanted to be king.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's
a doggy dog world out there.
Yeah, but by fulfilling that bloodlust, he's actually.
See, here's the danger of killing the king. What's the danger of killing the king?
Next in line.
Once you open that box, you can't close it again.
Right.
You can't say, hey, we don't kill kings around here, don't we? Mm. Didn't bother you?
There's something in the Haggadah that people who were killed and God didn't let the bodies rot until.
You're thinking of Ubnei Yerushalayim, that Hatoba Hametiv, the blessing of Hatoba Hametiv, the Haruge Beitar. Is that what you're thinking of? The Jewish bodies?
Yes.
That they didn't decompose until 3 years later. Yeah, different story.
That's interesting. God lets them rot.
They didn't rot them.
I mean,
here, right? Because these Jewish bodies deserve to rot. Why?
Okay.
Because
they sinned.
They died by idolatry. They desecrated God's word terribly. Okay. So he says, remember what happened to your family?
You know, my question is, God says he's going to destroy all these. Why doesn't he just get it over with? Do you know what I mean? Kill them all. Get rid of this whole line.
Well,
he did that.
No, but then another one comes.
That's exactly what he did. What do you mean, get it over with?
I mean, look how many years from year to year, and I don't know how much longer this goes on, that there's someone,
very
someone,
long.
Someone's doing idolatry, someone gets killed, someone else takes over. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Why don't you just,
you're really just
get rid of them all.
Just get rid of them all. Wipe
well,
them all out.
That's what God says he's going to do, right?
No, he didn't. He said he's going to wipe out the leadership. He's waiting for a good leader to come back.
That's what I meant. So get rid of all these leaders who keep taking over and just be done with that.
And what?
Just have one...
He's giving them all a chance to do tshuva.
Look how many years he's waiting for them to do tshuva.
Isn't God amazing that way?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you so impatient? Get it over with. Kill them all!
No one's learning. No one's changing. No, nothing. I mean, you know, we could read the same thing in every chapter, right? What's changing? Same story, different, you know, different people.
I have an unfair question to ask you. Could the same be said about us? How long do we get?
That's true.
How long does American Jewry get to repent and return to God as a whole? Because remember, you can't just say, well, we're worth it. We're okay. You think there weren't, you know, God-fearing people in Israel? I think everybody was totally corrupted?
No.
So would you extend your same argument to yourself? Come on, God, forget it. It's over. Smite.
But
all of a sudden, no, that, no, well, the ancients.
Yeah, the house of the president.
They may not be Orthodox, but I don't think there's a lot of idol worship.
Oh.
And murder.
Wait.
I mean, you know, unless we consider...
I saw a newspaper article that was just so sad to me. Where did I see this? Where did I see this sad, sad article? It's about a Jewish guy... married to a non-Jewish woman. Oh, yeah, yeah. In the New York Times, so when we fly, so I always buy a Sunday Times if I fly on Sunday, because it usually lasts me most of the flight. So in the Sunday Style section, they always have the weddings. That's another problem. And then they have a vows section. So now they go back. And then they always have like a wedding that they highlight, right? A featured wedding. So now they go back and see whatever happened to that couple.
Oh.
Well, you know,
they
so
do
this,
a follow-up?
Yeah, they follow up 4 years later. So the follow-up, and they're following up on this couple, a very nice, lovely couple. They're reading about she went to Stanford, and they push-ups together, whatever. And then it finally says, she is the first Jewish girl that he dated. He's like an Episcopalian. And so like, he's getting, and then she says, you know what she says? No, she says, she still considers herself observant. Right, so she goes to synagogue, and then, you know, and they're describing how on Christmas time, like, she didn't know that you could put some pig and said, there's many ways to eat pork, you know. It was like a sausage wrapped in bacon, wrapped in God only knows what, just, you know. What?
Sure, she was observant. She was watching everybody else.
No, she's observant. She's observant. Well, you were saying something? I'm going to say something controversial that thankfully no one's ever going to hear because these shiurim are, you know, they're on the internet and I don't see anybody downloading. Nobody ever got to like shiur number 15. You know what I mean? You have to be really dedicated. What's worse? And obviously, it's best not to be either of these. Is it worse to be an idol-worshipping Jew living in Israel identifying as a Jew? We were identifying as a Jew, and you worship idols in addition to God. Or to be an intermarried, completely assimilated American Jew who considers herself observant going to her husband's Christmas party.
I don't know, but it sounds like God made the rules
here. Yeah, of course, because there...
Our decision of what I think is worse, God... He said these people have to die because they're idol worshipers.
Okay, fine, so you don't know. And then you just admitted to me you don't know which one is worse.
Devote that.
Right.
You know.
Good. Good. So your
gun or sword. I don't
good.
Know.
So your argument, exactly. That's my point, exactly. So your argument that, well, it can't be that bad. I mean, they're not worshiping idols.
I don't know, but it just sounds like from here.
All I'm saying
it's
is.
It's a big thing that the temples.
Of course, that's a big thing because they're already living as Jews in Israel. They're identifying as God's people. Nowadays, we're watching God's people literally drift away. Drift away. I mean, maybe it doesn't get you. Maybe you've seen it too much. When I read those things, it's just like, you know, it's a pain in my heart.
I'm not going to argue that.
You know, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. We're just watching it happen. So how much longer do we get? You know, would you make that argument? No, the answer is God is a forgiving God. He hopes, he really hopes, you know, that each time, he doesn't want Vasha, he wants Vasha to say, what happened? You know, why did God allow, you know, Nadav to get wiped out like that? Why was I successful? So now what Vasha probably said was, the reason that I was successful in wiping out the family of Yeravam was because I'm a great warrior, I'm a skilled politician, I'm knowledgeable in, you know, in the ways of the world, all the reasons that are ancillarily true, but not completely true. The reason why Basha, the Navi tells him, why did you become the king? Why did the Navi tells him, why did you, the Navi comes to him and says, the prophet comes and says, why, you know why you're the king? Because God made you the king. And everything else is just commentary. So if you think that's true, you're going to change. If you don't think that's true, you're not going to change. Maybe one day you will. People change over time. Okay? But yet there, so what is Yah? So yeah, he gets this warning. That's okay. But yet there, Divrei Basha, Vasher Asau Gvurato. All right. So what does Basha do about it?
Nothing.
We don't get, you know, the rest of his activities and his strengths. Right? So you look in the chart, right? Basha lasted 24 years. Right? And so for whatever reason, right, God is giving Basha, gives Basha a longer period of time to get it right. You know, and he doesn't. Okay? Maybe for him it would take longer, but the son doesn't get it. Okay. V'gam b'yad Yehu ben Chanania navi dvar Hashem haya el v'asher ve'o beito v'akol hara asher asah b'einei Hashem v'achiso b'maseh adav liyo kibet Yeravam v'al asher hikauto. Okay. So, and the and to Yehu, how do I translate this pasuk? Okay, so, I mean, where am I? How does he translate it? Also through the hand of Yehu, with the prophet, was the word of Hashem concerning Basha in his house. I don't know why he repeats it. I'm not entirely sure what it's trying to tell you. Right? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, right, Allah became the king, even though God promised that what was going to happen to Basha. So he's saying that Yehu's word was not forgotten. And that Yehu's promise of the destruction of Basha is going to come true. Bishnat Esrim Deshesh Shana LaAsa Melech Yehuda. So in the 26th year of Asa the king, see where Asa is, the 26 years, he gets to be king then. Malach Eila ben Basha al Yisrael b'tirtza shenatayim. So Eila comes in, it's that dreaded 2 years. Right? You know, not good. Like, Shorlav Avdo Zimri Sar Machatzit HaRechev. So now his chariot men, right? They rose up against him. The Hu B'Tirtza Shotesh Shikor Beit Arza Asher Ha'Abayit Tirtza. And so where is he?
Drink.
He's drunk. Right? It's never a good idea to get drunk if your men are trying to kill you because
they'll kill you.
Yeah, it's very hard to defend yourself. Vayavo Zimri Vayakehu Vayamitehu. Bishnat Asim B'Sheva La'asam El Chihuda Vayim Loch Tachtav. Zimri killed him. And of course, what's Zimri going to do?
Take over.
What else?
Right. Yeah, he has left very long.
No, what is Zimri going to do? When you kill the king,
you're going to kill everybody else.
Kill his whole family, right? Okay. Right. He killed his friends. What is Go'alav? You know what Go'alav means? Go'alav means that if he would die, anyone who had to have a right to marry his wife in a levirate marriage, you know what kind of distant relatives you're talking about? They killed his cousins and his uncles. If you were related to Basha,
you were
gone, dead. Right? Anyone who served, that's like, you know, you serve in the government. Anyone who serves in the government,
it was just their jobs.
Not just their jobs.
Oh,
yeah.
Life?
Yeah, Shia. Okay. Vayashmeid Zimri al kol beit Basha kidvar Hashem adeber al dar Hashem biyad Yehu Navi. So vayashmeid. Vashmeid?
Destroyed.
He destroyed just like he promised in the house of Yehu. Yehu promised. El kol chatot Basha v'chatot Eila b'no. Again, so then every repeats. Why was Eila killed? for the sins of, not just himself, but the sins of the father. Yisrael, they sinned and they caused the sin. To cause God to be angry, okay, with their hevel, with their foolishness. But yes, right? And we get this last pasuk always. Right, if you find the book for me,
yeah.
Let me know.
How about Achashverosh's copy?
yeah. You know, by the way, when you read the Megillah, you notice just how paranoid, Achashverosh is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
After being down in terrace. You know, if you have a law that anyone who comes into your inner chamber without permission immediately executed, mm-hmm. well, somebody's worried about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. בשנת 27, לשנה לעשה מלאך יהודה, מלאך זמרי, שבעת ימים בתרצה. Okay, 7 days. It's a long monarchy, okay? והעם חונים על גיבטון אשר לפלישתים, and the nation was encamping around גיבטון, okay, which is where the פלישתים are. וישמע העם החונים לאמור, כאשר זמרי, וגם היכה את המלך. So now what happens is, right, זמרי kills the king in תרצה.
Right.
Where is the whole army?
Right,
they're in Gibton fighting the Plishtim. So they find out the king is dead, so what do they do? Right, so the king sends out the whole army with his chief of staff to go fight the Plishtim. He leaves behind this sort of shadow, you know, like the regiment. He leaves behind a regiment to protect him in Tirzah. Unfortunately, he makes a mistake. What's his mistake? He picked the wrong regiment. So they kill him. Exactly. They kill him, right? And they decide, and Zimri says, okay, I'll be king. But when the army finds out that the king is dead, they don't want some, you know, lieutenant colonel of the right. cavalry. They want the chief of staff. So they pick the current chief of staff, and they make him king.
You would okay. think at this point, nobody would want to be king. Yeah. Like, no, thank you.
No, no.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be king. Are you so surprised?
Serious.
15 days.
What happens when somebody becomes famous? When somebody becomes famous, what do we love? We love bringing people up. Why don't we do with them?
Love tearing them down.
Oh, we tip them, tear them down. We love it. And if you ever see, why does anybody ever want to become famous? But people do the stupidest things trying to get famous.
Mm-hmm.
Craziest things.
Because they still want
Who wants that kind of life? Apparently everyone does. Well, everyone wants it. Okay. So what happened? You're dying. Vayale Amri b'chol Yisrael imam b'gibton. Vayatsuru al Tirza. So remember, Zimri made himself king in the city of Tirza. So they lay siege to Tirza, come out wherever you are. Vayihiki, oh, Zimri kilnu kedah ha'ir. Okay, so when he found out that the city was surrounded, right? Vayavo al amon beit hamelech, so he came to the king's palace. Vayisrov alav et beit hamelech ba'esh vayamot. He burns down the palace, killing himself and all its inhabitants in the process. But you go outside. Nobody ever saw The Return of the King in Lord of the Rings?
No. Mm-hmm.
Not your cup of tea?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, forget it then. Okay. I can explain it to you, but it wouldn't mean anything.
What?
It's pretty fast that they find out. It's only 7 days.
It must not have been that far. Right? So, I mean, what other options does he have, I guess?
I can think of that.
Surrender? They'll kill you. I'll kill you. I mean,
because he mutinied against the king,
right?
And the commander of the army was probably loyal to the king,
right? And the commander of the army wants to be king now. All right. Okay. Al chatatav, why did he die? Al chatatav, asher chatav la'asod rabbi ne Hashem la'lechet b'derech Yeravam u'b'chatatav asher asal la'chtiyad Yisrael. So we always see it in the spiritual sense. So for 7 days he followed in Yeravam's path. And ostensibly, by the way, if he had become king, the Navi implies if he became king and got rid of all the idolatry,
he could have
survived. Right? Maybe he would have survived somehow, miraculously.
In
7 days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but who? You have to understand, who inspires the nation to decide, we got to get rid of this guy, Zimri? Could it very well be that the nation is inspired to say, Zimri sounds like a good name of a king. You understand what I'm saying?
It doesn't sound like Asa, so you don't get too confused.
Asa sounds like a girl.
I don't know.
Asa.
In the view of the Navi, all historical events regarding the Jewish people are with the hidden hand of God pushing them. Right? And when a person's demise in that kind of way, it's a demise based on spiritual reasons. That's exactly what the Navi says. The Yetzer Divrei Zimri and the other works of Zimri in all 7 days, the Kishur Asher Kasha and his rebellion, they're written in the book. I think you can buy it online at Amazon. So now what happened? Now the Israelites divided further into two. So half went after Tivni ben Ginat, and half went to Amri. So now it's Tivni and Amri, right? And what happened to Tivni and Amri?
Amri
destroys Tivni, right? Right, so Tivni's dead. Right.
Club
Gimel.
Why would you want to
Okay, in the 31st year of Asa, Amri became the king of Israel. Okay, for 12 years. Remember, see, she in the. It's, this is going on for a while. See in your chart. You still have it on your chart, Zimri?
No.
You're done?
We're done.
So it says Zimri, right, had 7 days. Tivni and Amri were for 6 years. Right.
Together?
Together, half and half. And then it took 6 years. It's not like he killed him out and he beat him out quickly. Right.
He's thought about it. And that's where our chart ends.
That's where your chart ends. Okay. And so that, and then after that, Amri was the king for a total of 12 years. I'll photocopy the rest of the chart for next time. Amri was the king for a total of 12 years, half of which he had to spend his time beating back, a half of a half the kingdom, right? His opponent in the kingdom of Israel. And at the same time, then it's still in the reign of Asa, right? Asa, the king of Yehuda. One gets the sense that Asa, the king of Yehuda, was just kind of...
staying out of the whole
world. Right. Now you understand probably why he was king for 41 years.
How does everybody take a test?
What?
How do you take a test?
I don't know. The kids, I guess, have to learn it. Okay.
We can't go back to some of the boring.
Chav Dalet, 24. But you again at Tahar Shomron, the eight Shemer Bikir Kikrayim Kasef. He bought the mountain of Shomron from Shemer for 2 Kikar Kasef. But even at Tahar, he built it up. But he cried, Shem Ayer Shabana, Shem Shemer Adonai Tahar Shomron. Okay, so he named the city Shomron. Anybody heard of the Shomron, right? So very good. Vayasa Amri Bahara Ben Hashem. Does it sound familiar?
No,
I can't believe it. Vayara Mikol Asher Lefanav. That's hard to do. Like he was worse than everyone that came before him.
You would have a charter.
How bad?
How low can you go?
How low can you go?
Doesn't matter, he starts
from
the bottom.
Okay, wait, he'll tell you. He followed it in Rabbam, Lachis, and Hashem, Lokei, Shabbat, Ablehem. He followed in anger God. And the rest of his might. Right, they're written in that great book. Vayiskav Amri and Avotav Vayikarev Shomron Vayimloch Achav Bino Tachta.
Okay. Why
are
we also following him, left out to be eaten by the crows? And
nobody
ran. Everybody's going to
follow
you.
He was worse than
the rest. Yeah, he should
be eaten by the army.
No problem
about the war. No, but he followed in the evil path. So you're asking me, why was he not wiped out?
And also,
why wasn't he buried?
No, why wasn't he destroyed? The Navi is not clear about these things. Why, you know? Yeah, you never know. God Himself is not clear about why He incurs His wrath on some and not others. You know, that's the eternal question. We don't understand the workings of God.
We have Ahab. This has it as Ahab. So we're starting Moby Dick.
we're gonna when we get to Ahab, the story of Ahab is gonna be the story of Ahab against Eliyahu. Yeah, the prophet versus the king.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to stop here, and we'll continue next week with Achav and Eliyahu. I had to fly through, you know, I'll be saying, you know, these...
I think your reading was longer than the reign of some of the